بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قبل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحسن بن علي رضي الله تعالى عنهما فقال الأقرع بن حابس: إن لي عشرة من الولد ما قبلت منهم أحدا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من لا يرحم لا يرحم. متفق عليه. أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم once kissed his grandson Sayyidina Hassan bin Ali رضي الله تعالى عنهما. As mentioned previously, such overt and public displays of affection towards one's children, towards one's children or offspring, this was anathema, unheard of, frowned upon in that society in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to break down these barriers and to display that this is Islamic conduct, this is what Islam advocates, this love, affection, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to openly in public. At times the grandchildren would come into the masjid, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was leading the salah, they would actually climb onto the back of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He would not in any way disturb them, and he, through his akhlaq, through his conduct, he displayed this manifestly in front of Sahaba Ikram, this tolerance, this love, this development of relationship with one's children, offspring, family, grandchildren, etc. Aqra bin Habis Tamimi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he saw this, he was shocked. So he said, I have 10 children. I've never kissed any one of them. I've never shown this kind of affection for any of my children. In other words, in keeping with what the rasam, riwaj, the culture of that time was, this was the conduct of Aqra bin Habis radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In other words, this harshness, this rigidity, this failure to show public affection or to show open affection towards one's children. So to this Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and at this point yesterday we stopped, that man la yarham la yurham. There are certain things in Shariat, certain ahadith we find, certain verses of the Quran, that Allah Ta'ala will deal with you as you deal with others. And this is Allah Ta'ala's sunnat. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never deviates, never digresses from His sunnat. So one important sunnat of Allah we are taught in this hadith. You are constantly dealing with people. Sometimes they deal with you in a nice way. Sometimes they oppose you. Sometimes they are your enemy. How they deal with you should not dictate how you deal with them. This is very, very important. This lesson is taught to us over and over and over again. Akhlaq, character of Islam, is not reciprocity. In other words, do to others what they do to you. You have to keep Allah in front of you. You have to keep the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of you. And regardless of how somebody else is dealing with you, keeping these principles in front of you, you deal with them. Allah Ta'ala is going to make decision about you not dependent on how others are treating you. Allah Ta'ala is going to make decision about how you are treating others. This important usul and principle is taught to us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to Aqra bin Habis, and what we should bear in mind and what we should realize, my respected brothers, that even though this was said in the context of one's grandchild showing love and affection to children, the meaning of this part of the hadith is general. It is not restricted or confined to that. Ibn Battal rahimahullah says, mercy to others. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any one of you who will not show mercy, any one of you who will not have rahmat, compassion, kindness, shafaqah, when dealing with others. Mercy to others incorporates not just one's children, but the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody is poor, feed that person. Somebody works for you. This month of Ramadan is coming, I'm digressing. Month of Ramadan is coming. Shaaban generally is a month for the preparation of Ramadan. Now in our lives, one type of preparation, Ramadan is coming. In our lives, as I mentioned, there are two types of people. One is, mashallah, Allah has made you financially independent. If you go to work 6 o'clock in the morning, or you go to work 10 o'clock in the morning, or you decide one day I don't want to go to work, you have that choice. You are financially independent. You are well off. You may be the owner, you may be the boss, whatever it is. Such a person, what is his preparation for Ramadan? His preparation for Ramadan is so far as his worldly duties and responsibilities, because Allah has given him that element of freedom. He must try what is pressing, what is absolutely urgent, he should try and finish it up in Shaaban. So that in the month of Ramadan, he frees himself totally for the ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the special month of that. Then you get another type of person. He's an employee, he's working 9 to 5 or 7 to late or whatever it may be, whatever his working hours are. What is his preparation? How does he free himself for the month of Ramadan? He has to work. He's got to provide for his family. He's answerable to somebody. In that instance, Allah addresses his employer. Ramadan is coming. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful cognizance he took of this. One is, you are financially independent, so you can dictate your working hours. Your preparation for Ramadan is to free yourself up to devote more to the worship of Allah Ta'ala. Person who is working, Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam address the employer. Man khaffafa an mamlukihi. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person who will lighten the burden of his employees in the month of Ramadan. In other words, if the person is supposed to come to work at 7 o'clock, if you give him that allowance in the month of Ramadan so that he can spend more time in Allah Ta'ala's ibadat, let him go home earlier, let him start later, etc. This is a choice or option you have. You can have this mindset, it's going to affect the bottom line, it's going to affect how much I earn, etc. This is now an opportunity for you. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, that person who will lighten the burden. In the hadith, the word mamluk comes. In other words, his slave. In modern day or in today's context, it means people that are working for you, your employees, people that are answerable to you. In the month of Ramadan, if you will lighten their burden, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah will lighten your burden on the day of judgment. The day when you have to answer to Allah Ta'ala, how you dealt with Allah Ta'ala's slaves, Allah will deal with you on that day. That is the takeaway from this principle that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made bayan of, like I said, in this context, but the meaning is absolutely general. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ. If you are not merciful, as an employer, as somebody in a position of authority, as somebody who Allah Ta'ala has blessed maybe with greater ni'mats, whatever it is, if you are not merciful in your position of authority to those that are your underlings or those that are your subordinates, la yurham, Allah won't show mercy to you. Opposite meaning, you are merciful, Allah will be merciful to you. Classical example is this hadith. Like I said, I digress. Ramadan is coming. When khaffafa an mamluki, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, lighten the burden of your employees in the month of Ramadan, lighten the burden of those who are answerable to. If you are a teacher in a Muslim school, or you are any person in a position of authority, amir of a jamaat out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, there are certain activities that a jamaat gets involved in, lighten certain activities, free the person up so he can devote himself more to the worship and the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala and fulfilling the haqq of the month of Ramadan, because Ramadan only comes once a year. If you will lighten their burden, Allah will lighten your burden. Coming back to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man la yarham, la yurham." If you will not be kind, compassionate, merciful to your children in this context, Allah will not show mercy to you. Prostitute shows mercy to a thirsty dog. What happens? Allah makes the decision of her jannah. Like that, in Quran and hadith, many, many incidents there are. This is an overriding principle. Always don't be concerned by how others are dealing or treating you. Be concerned about how you deal with them, because this hadith teaches us Allah is going to deal with you according to how you dealt with Allah's creation. Irhamu man fil ard yarhamkum man fis sama. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, overriding principle again, those who will show mercy to Allah's creation, Allah will show mercy to them. Opposite meaning, converse, like is mentioned in this hadith, la yarham, la yurham. You don't have mercy, Allah won't have mercy with you. One hadith in Tabrani, this same concept is opened up even further. Man la yarham, la yurham. Man la yaghfir, la yughfar lahu. Man la yatub, la yutab alayh. Allahu Akbar. A lot of times, what is our excuse? I'll never forgive him. I'll never let him go. I'll fix him up. He did this to me. This "he did this to me" has to come out of us. These ahadith, these principles are teaching us, don't worry about what he did. What about what you are doing? You are addressed directly. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you will not forgive, Allah won't forgive you. If you won't let it go, you will be held accountable in Allah's court. Coming back to this hadith of Tabarani, "Man la yaghfir, la yughfar lahu." If you don't forgive, Allah will not forgive you. If you won't accept a person's apology, somebody tells you sorry, you're not interested in listening today. Today we carry this baggage. We carry this burden. We need to understand, when people deal with you badly, when somebody has affronted you, somebody has insulted you, somebody has usurped your haq and your right, don't only keep the dunya in front, keep the akhirat in front. Somebody usurped your right, somebody dealt badly with you, understand, you can feel aggrieved, you can feel mazloom, you can feel oppressed, and you can have this mindset you're going to sort the whole world out. That is not what Islam teaches and advocates. What does Islam teach and advocate? That this misbehavior of your relatives, of your friend, of your family, or whoever has come into contact with you, this is not a problem. It is in fact an opportunity. It is an opportunity which Allah is giving you to take the high road. Take the high road and Allah will take the high road with you. Forgive, Allah will forgive you. Accept a person's apology, Allah will accept your apology. Show mercy to the creation of Allah. To complete this saying of Ibn Battal rahimahullah, he said, mercy incorporates the entire creation of Allah. Somebody is poor, feed them. This is mercy. Somebody works for you, lighten their burden. This is mercy. Somebody, when it comes to punishing somebody, maybe your children, etc., the punishment is due, you have to carry out some sort of punishment, that time abstain from excessive punishment. In other words, in your entire conduct, display mercy, Allah will be merciful to you. Allah gives the fixed one.